we've been working on Jude. At the top of your sheet, I've given you the outline. This gets us as far as our passage today. Today we are in verses 5 through 8. And you'll notice that we have the greeting, verses 1 and 2. We have the purpose, verses 3 and 4. And then there's a long section, verses 5 through 16, which are the warnings against false teachers. The first bit of that is called historical failures, the first five through seven. And then there's no rules here. This is Tom Constable's outline. I've adapted it somewhat, but we're going to slip on into verse 8 as well, because I think it sort of begins to tie verse 5 through 7 together. So that's how I wanted to do it. All right. And so, and Jude's purpose was altered. So you recall that he starts off by saying, "Now I would rather," I was making every effort to write to you about the common salvation, our common salvation. And he says, "However, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith." So contending for the faith. That word there is the word from which in the Greek word we get the English word agonize. It's a word that had to do with various types of contests, athletic contests, especially wrestling, so that you wrestle for the faith. You could put it that way. So that's his urgent request. The reason for his request is in verse 4. The creeps who crept in, as we call them, right? For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. And they were long ago marked out for condemnation. They are ungodly persons turning grace into licentiousness and denying Christ. All right, so let's go ahead and I'm going to read from verse 5 through verse 8. And we're going to, I have notes further, so you might have to be flipping your page back and forth as we fill in this chart. All right, but let's read the section together for right now, verse 5 through 8. "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they were in the same way as those indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties." All right, so that's our text for tonight. Now, this section is called historical failures. So you go through verses 5 through 7. He talks about the people having saved a people out of the land of Egypt. So who's he talking about there? Who's the subject that he's talking about? Okay, so Israel. Israel in the wilderness specifically, but that's what he's talking about. So that's your first category, the subjects in verse 5. All right, so then in verse 6, who's he talking about here? What's our subject? Angels. All right, we're going to try to figure out which angels he's talking about here in just a minute. All right, so you can put angels in there. And then verse 7, who's he talking about there? Pagans, yes. Sodom and Gomorrah specifically, but yes, okay. So you can put those down there. But we're going to look at trying to identify each situation that he's talking about so that we can have a good grasp of what he's saying as the issue in the judgment of these three groups. And that is going to inform us about the current false teachers that have crept into the church that he's writing about, the ones that he's concerned about. So I have a little quote here from Hebert. And I put these quotes in, and then I look at them when I get up here and I think, oh, they're using long words. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Okay, so you'll have to just endure my long words. All right, so we have the, it starts with, verse 5 starts with the word now. He calls this the connective particle. That's a nice way of describing the word now. Indicates something more but different from what has just been said. Needs to be added about these libertines. So the libertines he's talking about, the ones in verse 4, these certain persons who have crept in unawares. Now, he says, he wants to add something. That's the basic idea here. Having remarked that such men will surely be judged, Jude now illustrates the truth that divine judgment upon such flagrant evildoers is no novelty. So that he takes us to the past. He mentions three groups in the past. We've already identified them. Israel in the wilderness, the angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah. All those three groups, they experienced judgment. So we want to talk about them and try to figure out who he's talking about. So the cross-references that I want to give you, and you might want to turn with me to these, but I think it's important that we think about this in the context. And so Numbers chapter 13, the book of Numbers, a book we little turn to, but it's important for this particular discussion. You'll remember the story, I'm sure, how the children of Israel got to the borders of the Promised Land. They sent spies into the land to see what the land was like. And they came back, and of course, they had a couple of men carrying on a pole some of the grapes that they had found in the land. They were so plenteous and so large, they had to have two guys carrying them on a pole. So it was a land of plenty, a land of milk and honey, as it's described in the Bible. But they also said, there are giants there. All right, there's giants there. So beginning in verse 30, now there's a lot of concern that is in the report. So Caleb, it says in verse 30 of Numbers 13, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So they saw these great tall men, and they were afraid. That's their report. Verse chapter 14, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. Now, we'll skip down to verse 20, just so that we don't have to read quite so much. But basically, the Lord says, all right, he said, Moses, I'll make a new nation out of you. And Moses prays for them. So verse 20. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites live in the valleys. Turn tomorrow and set out by the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. All right, so we are about 2 years out from the Exodus. So all these people have gone through the 10 plagues in Egypt. They saw the Lord deliver them out of Egypt with a strong hand. They saw the Lord part the Red Sea. They walked through on the dry ground. They saw the Lord then drown Pharaoh's army in the sea. They saw all the miracles of provision of water and food and sustenance along the way. They saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. They heard the Ten Commandments, God's audible voice. And then they get to this land where, oh, there's giants. See, that's what God's saying. You know, they have seen my glory, and they're not going to obey? And of course, we would say, oh, we would do it. I don't know. What if your friend said, there's giants there, though? Who knows? All right, so back to Jude. In Jude chapter, or Jude, there only has one chapter, Jude verse 5. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. So what did he mean when he said he destroyed those who did not believe? They died, but it took them 40 years. That's right. Okay. Yeah, they could not go into the promised land. They only of that generation. Now, everybody, the details are everybody under 20 was allowed to go in. But Caleb and Joshua were two exceptions. Interestingly, who else did not go in? Moses and Aaron. Yeah. So that's interesting. But God didn't mention anything about them. They were going to have a problem later, and then God says, okay, you two can't go in either. So, anyhow, they are, God made them wander until they died in the wilderness, right? So that's what happened to them. That's what God meant. Now, the question is, okay, so he's giving this as an example. I want to give you additional information here. Okay, I want to remind you, though you know all things. They know all things because they have the Bible. They have the Old Testament. You know all of this, he says. But I'm reminding you of it. And so he kept them out of the land. Now, who should be warned by this reminder, true believers or false teachers? Notice he's talking about the false teachers, and they are marked out for condemnation, so there's a warning. He's urging the believers to be contending for the faith. So when we come to this reason or this example, who should be warned by this example? The believers, okay? Okay. Both groups, okay? Anybody else have an idea here? Okay, so there's a couple of things. There's a little bit of a debate in the commentary, because in Israel, in the example of Israel, like the whole generation, God said, okay, well, just you're going to walk around for 40 years till you all die out. Okay, he didn't kill them all. You know, he just let them die out. Okay? But some of those people were probably true believers in God. Now, Israel is a nation. It's different from the church. The church is an entirely spiritual body. Israel is a political entity. It's a nation. And so it's not exactly the same as the church. So there are some people in the church who are in Israel who possibly aren't believers. So some of those people who died through those years were possibly not believers. But none of them went in. Certainly Moses and Aaron were believers. I expect to see them in heaven, right? So there's a mixed thing. Perhaps Maureen is correct in saying both are warned. Certainly the warning of judgment is for false teachers. That is absolutely true. But there is perhaps a caution for the believers. But there is one thing I want to point out. I had note particularly the keeping language in Jude 1 and verses 24 to 25. Notice how he describes, he's writing to believers. He says, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Okay, so you have that keeping language there. Then right at the end, in verses 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. So the emphasis that Jude is making is that God keeps believers. So he's not so much concerned with backsliding. Backsliding is a problem for a believer who falls into sin and gets upset with God and, you know, sort of doesn't do the right thing for a while. That is a concern, but I don't think that's the concern here in Jude. The concern here is these false teachers. The warning is, look what God did to Israel. God will do it to the false teachers too. That's what he's talking about. All right, so what was the issue that brought about their judgment for this sin? Okay, what was the issue? Pardon me? Unbelief? Rebellion? Okay. Rob, are you going to add something?
Well, I was going to say unbelief because they didn't, well, but in the sense of trusting. They didn't trust God.
They didn't trust God to see them through. Yes, Tola.
Stiff-necked.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's right. Yes, we have lots of good words for this. All right, so I'll give you my long answer that I wrote into my notes here. They who had seen great deliverance couldn't believe God would give great deliverance. They left their first experience for a state of fear and unbelief. It's always remarkable to me, and we have to realize that every one of these people who said, no, no, we can't go, every one of them said, or had walked through the Red Sea. You know, you're worried about giants, like, what do you think? Do you think this is just a picnic you're on or something? Anyhow, so in your chart there, issue in their judgment. Well, I would say turn from faith to fear is what I had in that blank. So you want to put something like that? You can use the word rebellion. You can use the word stiff-necked. All of those things. That was the thing that was the issue. They couldn't. But the thing I especially want you to notice is they had faith to walk through the dry ground, through the sea on the dry ground, but they didn't have faith to walk before and take the giant. So it's this turning that I think is especially important. Rob.
It's interesting because there were, in fact, that was the Goliath area.
Yes.
So there was a threat, but they let the threat cloud
their vision of God. That's right. Yes. You're right. That's right. So let's move on to the next one. I'm watching my clock because I know that bus is going to show up for Dorothy. It's sort of our deadline here, right? So, all right, so let's move to the next verse, verse 6. Okay, so we're talking here about the angels. Now, there's which angels? Recall your Bible knowledge here. I sort of feel like I can't go to all these references. So what I gave you the references, so what do you know, if you can look at those and you know your chapter content, what do you know about those passages? Anybody have an idea what we're talking about? Second Peter, you're throwing in a reference I don't have on my list here. But it is, Second Peter is one of them, but yes. Yes, we did. Oh, okay. No, well, I should have written 2 Peter down as I think about it, but I didn't put it in my list here. Okay, so anybody know what Genesis 6 is talking about? Pardon me? No, that's not Lot. It's a little before him. Okay, so anybody else have an idea? I don't want to have to go and read all this. Okay, it's the story where it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and there were giants as well as a result of that. Okay. Now, some people, many people, take this passage of Jude and say, oh, it's referring to that event. Angels came and cohabited with women, and they left their first estate. Notice how it says, the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds. All right? So they left their previous estate. So some will say it was that incident. And in fact, many interpreters say that is the correct one. Except, compare Matthew 22:30, where Jesus said, angels do not marry, neither are given in marriage. Okay? And then we look at that. How in the world can a spirit being That's what an angel is, a spirit being. How in the world can a spirit being cohabit with a physical being? It's just not logical. That's right. Okay, so it's not logical. All right, so all these other references, and I'm going to let you look those up later, but all of them refer to the fall of angels. Jesus says in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall out of heaven. Right? And then Revelation 12:9 talks about the fall of Satan out of heaven, taking a third of the stars, it says. We take that to refer to angels. Took a third of the angels with him. Isaiah 14 talks about the fall of Lucifer, right? And then Revelation 9 talks about the great pit where these locusts, now this is all symbolic language, but these locusts are released out of the great pit. In verse 11 it says, these locusts have a king over them. His name is Abaddon and Apollyon. And that is taken to be another name for Satan, and thus the locusts have personalities if they have a king over them. And so the interpretation is that those are angels. There is a parallel passage in 2 Peter that talks about angels being kept in a pit. Okay? I didn't put that one down. I should have. All right, so we have the dueling cross-references. Now, the issue in Jude 6 that leads to judgment, what is the issue? Look at our verse again. Angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode. What is that issue? That's rebellion of some kind. They did not stay in their proper place, and they went their own way. They abandoned their proper abode. Now, I take that to refer, I believe, I just can't accept the Genesis 6 interpretation. I think it's the fall of the angels. They rebelled with Satan against God. They wanted to set up their own kingdom outside of God's kingdom. And so angels abandoning, this is the way I put the answer here. Angels abandoning their created role to usurp God's order. Angels abandoning their created role to usurp God's order. In the chart you could put turned from their proper place. Okay, yes, Rob. No, it doesn't. Now, it's a very popular assumption. It's like numerous commentaries will teach this. The church has taught this. Early church taught this. One of the guys said in arguing for it, he says, well, if you're going to argue against it, you're arguing against everything the early church taught. And they were closer. And, well, so what? So what? There's other reasons why I just think that's untenable. Okay. Well, if it has anything to do with spirits, it's demon possession. But I think it is the line of Seth mixing with the line of Cain. That's what I think it is. Okay, so it's a very difficult passage. It is obscure. My opinion of what it is not Bible. Okay, I think it is the line of Seth mixing with the line of Cain. The Bible doesn't say that. That's just my opinion. Okay, all right. What goes in your blank? Turn from their proper place. Turn from their proper place. If you want to copy what I put down, you can put it your own way. Alright. Alright, so that's verse 6. Now we're verse 7. We're really hustling now. The cross reference here is Genesis 19, verse 1 through 7. I'm not going to read that either because of the sake of time. That is the story of Lot and the fall of Sodom, right? And so when the two angels came to speak to Lot, the men of the city wanted to have carnal relations with the two angels. All right? And so we have this, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. So that's clearly talking about that incident. Not just the incident with Lot, but that is a pattern of their life. I mean, why would they feel the freedom to accost strangers and to attack them sexually? Why would they find that and have that freedom? Well, they've done it before, obviously. That's the kind of place Sodom was. All right? So what is the issue that brings on the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah as described by Jude? Sin. But the sin is that men are turning, they're abandoning something, their created design, for a strange flesh. Okay, so they're going from their first estate, essentially, the way God created them, to something that is totally a perversion of creation. Okay, and so in the blanks on this chart, I put turn from proper use to strange flesh. All right. Okay, so then at the very bottom I have on the chart, I have a summary blank. In summing up these examples, given as reminders, what is common to all three? Turning, usurping God's order. Okay, so there, God has, you know, there, the people of Israel, when they turn, they're turning from faith to fear. God, look at all the things God had done for them, and they just turn away from that. It's incredible. Okay, the angels, they're turning from their proper place. Their proper place is to serve God, to be under His authority and His dominion. And no, we're not going to do that. We're going to set up our own kingdom. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they turn from the proper use, the proper nature, their own nature, to strange flesh. So usurping God's order is the summary statement there. So let's look at verse 8 then, and just briefly. Now Jude brings us back to the false teachers of verse 4. So these are examples. 5, 6, and 7 are examples. Yet in the same way, these men, which men? The men of verse 4. The certain persons who have crept in unnoticed. These men also by dreaming defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. So, let's see. There's some interesting things here. Here's my questions. How is it that these men are in some way the same as the three examples? How is it these men are in some way the same as these three examples? Maybe we should say, who are these men? Who are these men in the church? What do they appear to be?
False teachers.
They are false teachers, but what do they appear to be? They appear to be good teachers, though. They come in and they put on they're angels of light. They act like they have the lingo. They have the, you know, they act like they're just, you know, put upon, you know, somebody criticizes, well, you know, I'm just trying to serve the Lord. And there's all kinds of excuses. If there's any deviation, people criticize them. Oh, well, you just don't understand. You see, false teachers. It's very subtle. But the thing is that they have, these men, they came in as true teachers, but they have turned from their original profession. Like they profess the true faith, that's the only way you get into the church. But because they have come in under false pretenses, they turn from their first profession and they become something else. They fall into apostasy. So there's three categories of their errors. What are they? Okay, we have them here in this verse. Three categories. What do they do? Pardon me? Ungodly men, yes, but in verse 8, what are the three categories? They defile the flesh. They reject authority. Revile angelic majesties. All right, so what are these what are the connections with the previous errors? Which one would defile the flesh connect with? Sodom, all right. Yes, and you'll see that in 2 Peter also, that these men are that they will often be found with immorality, and you'll find that it's not often in the church. There have been, of course, sexual scandals, and often you'll find that they're false teachers as well. People like that, there's something. They just think they can do whatever they want. All right. The second one, rejecting authority. Which one do you think that would match up with the previous list? Israel in the wilderness. Okay, they're in rebellion. Okay. And then the reviling angelic majesties. Well, here I think that does connect in with the angels because of their irreverence. So they're not, they are, the angels have left their, they didn't revere God, so these men don't revere God, is the idea. Okay? I do think there's parallels. I think Jude intends to parallel them. Okay, so what motivates them to engage in these errors? Now, this is the very interesting word in the verse. Look at verse 8 again. What's the most interesting word in that verse? Dreaming. What motivates them to engage in these errors? They're dreaming. All right, so I put in my notes probably imaginations rather than visions. Maybe they're claiming, oh, you know, I had a vision. You know, it was like Joseph Smith. Oh, I had a vision and I now see. You know, I have these glasses and I was able to read this text. Okay, but he's not the only one, and certainly he wasn't really in the church. There are people who will come with all kinds of wild stories about what God has told them, and you should follow them. That's their line. Okay, their visions. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. It could be just simply imaginations. Just they're puffed up in their own minds, and they're full of. Yeah. 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 Sure. Yeah. No. Yeah, usually you're the hero of all your dreams, aren't you? That's right. And you have to be careful because you might not be as good a hero as you think. All right. So what is the implication of connecting them to the three examples? So consider my title, As Then, So Now. So we have the three examples from the past. Jude is saying there's these false teachers in the church. He says they are, verse 8, yet in the same way these men are doing the same kinds of things, is what he's saying. So what is the implication then of connecting them to those three examples? And consider my title, As Then, So Now. Judgment, yes, but what else? The same things are happening. So in what Jude is saying is that what happened in the past, where angels, where the men of Sodom, pagan men, where the people of God turned from the place they originally were in to a place of rebellion and God judged them, exactly the same thing is happening now. And the thing is, throughout the history of the church, we've seen this thing happen over and over and over again. So Jude is urging us to be wrestling, to be contending for the faith, because this thing keeps happening. Here's three examples from the past. It's happening now, he says, with these men. And so we need to be on our guard. All right, so we, with a little bit of rushing, I hope that made sense as we rushed through that. The bus, I heard the bus, so we're ready to pray and close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this study tonight. I pray that as we think about these things, we will understand what you're teaching us for our current age. Help us to be on guard. Help us to be ready to stand up for you, for the truth, to wrestle for the Word of God, and to be faithful to it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.